The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
So, Dee Reddy and John Cadell with us for a bit of music chat, and we're going to start by playing the official campaign song for Kamala Harris's attempt to secure the presidency of the United States. Featuring Kendrick Lamar, John Cadell. I think what's significant about that as well is that Beyonce has given permission for that song to be used, because there's been a lot of artists who've given out that Donald Trump has taken, hijacked their music without permission.
Yeah, and you know, there is the school of thought that if a song is out there, it's everybody's, but artists don't want to be associated with certain politicians. Beyonce, no problem with Kamala Harris using Freedom as her anthem. And it does make sense, because Beyonce, certainly the album came from Lemonade, was her most overt political statement ever, and I think remains so. And for a black lady now to be, you know, hopefully taking the seat in the White House is huge. And Beyonce, I think, could only agree to its use.
Well, sometimes people are afraid to be seen to endorse political candidates. Yeah. What do you make of the choice of track, Dee Reddy?
I think it's a great choice, Matt. And one thing I'd say about it as well is you can be sure with Kamala Harris that, like, you won't have those awkward moments you have with, because it's a very groovy song. Like, you won't have those awkward Theresa May or Democratic Conference dancing to the Macarena moments with her, because she's shown herself to be somebody who can dance to a beat. So yeah, absolutely makes sense that she has gone with Beyonce and Kendrick Lamar. She hasn't actually officially endorsed Harris yet, but I know her mum has actually.
Okay.
But Kamala knows her music. I've seen
clips. She really does.
Even the last couple of days of her coming out of record shops and showing the reporters what she bought, like a George Clinton doll, her favourite album, an Al Green album. And she's saying, you know, do you know Al Green? You need to listen to this record. So, yeah, she's okay by me.
Okay. And then is Kamala Harris a brat? Dee, can you explain this reference?
Well, apparently so. So Charlie XCX, and I mean, I think most people listening to CFM won't have missed out on this whole brat summer thing. The cover of her album is that sort of lime, kind of dirty lime green, or chartreuse, as somebody on CNN described it, with the word brat on it. She has, she came out in support of Kamala Harris, who has picked up the mantra of brat, and loads of memes coming out of this one. But honestly, it led to one of my favourite bits of political journalism over the last couple of days, which was CNN's Jake Tapper, Jamie Gangle, David Chalin and Caitlin Collins discussing what brat means in the most ham-fisted way, but very enjoyable.
Well, let's hear that, actually.
Special Gen Z correspondent Jamie Gangle, what can you tell us about?
So first of all, just for my producer Elizabeth Stewart, who will spit out her coffee as I say this, I am supposed to say that's brat. And for those who are not in the know the way I am, that is a cool thing. Mm. It has a color. Chartreuse is the color, and Kamala Harris has adopted that for whatever social media page that is. But I have brought some notes because I knew you would want a definition. Okay, here we go. Charlie XCX, who I do know, quote, brat, you're just that girl who is a little messy and likes to party and maybe says some dumb things sometimes, end quote.
So is the idea that we're all kind of brat and Vice President Harris is brat?
Well,
I don't know if you're brat. I think you aspire to be brat.
Right.
Okay, you don't just become brat.
Oh, okay.
You have to try.
You can work at it.
I will aspire to be brat.
I don't think any of them are brat.
I think you're right. Although I will say she is spot on with the colour. It is more of a chartreuse than a lime green. So I will say that much.
Chartreuse, is that like lime green, is it?
Yeah, it's sort of this.
Yeah, it's a bit more brown
green.
To it.
It's a bit of a snot green.
Yeah.
God, right. Actually, let's hear a little bit of Charlie XCX.
That's both brat and bougie.
Very good, John.
Thanks.
Well done, yeah. You're very good, right. Do you remember seeing her in Dublin, Dee?
Charlie XCX?
Yeah.
I don't think so, no.
Because I have a memory of her being in Croke Park as a support act to Taylor Swift in 2018.
You probably call her Charlie
XCX. I don't believe it.
Yeah. And she was excellent.
Well, there you go. Yeah, no, she's brilliant. And she's been around a while. Like she's had a bit of a renaissance with this album. And I think that whole genre of electro house has kind of become more popular again, thanks to her and also Saltburn, which had a lot of it.
Why are you smirking at me, John?
I'm laughing at you, Matt, remembering Charlie XCX at a concert in 2018.
That
Why are you laughing at it? I actually preferred her to Taylor Swift on the day.
You're just being ornery now, Matt.
I'm being.
You're, yes,
not,
yeah,
you're not, and yeah. I'm being, is
you're being
it?
Deliberately obtuse.
Okay, tell us about the kneecap movie, John.
Yeah, this is going to be the biggest opening for an Irish film ever in the state. It's going to play in 100 movie theatres across the country. And it's the sort of semi-fictionalised story of how the rap group got together. They're playing themselves in the movie, and I believe Michael Fassbender is also going to be in the movie. But they themselves have said that they're honoured that it's getting such a massive release. And it did fantastically well on a couple of the film flas over the last couple of years, or last couple of months rather, and getting all these, sort of, you know, those awards where they put this sort of the Julius Caesar palms over them. You know, they have like nominated for Cannes best of. Oh, there's loads of
the
them.
Palme d'Or.
Well, something like that. Yeah. Yeah. You know the Palme. You know the Julius Caesar laurels thing.
Right.
Anyway, loads of them. And it's getting.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve. That's because you're a brat. Right. yeah. So it's getting a very, very wide release here in Ireland. I'd imagine there's a lot of people looking forward to seeing it. They're certainly having a moment.
Okay. I see that Bruce Springsteen is now officially a billionaire. Could that be on the basis of all the tickets that he sold for concerts in Ireland?
Quite possibly, Matt. It could also be to do with the sale of his masters, though. He, along with a number of kind of older iconic musicians like Bob Dylan, Stevie Nicks and Neil Young, have actually sold off their extensive catalogues recently. So we're seeing a lot more of them enter the, I don't know what else to call it other than the billionaire club. Ones that we've seen this year include Paul McCartney and, of course, Taylor Swift as
but
well,
interestingly,
which is widely reported on.
Interestingly, McCartney hasn't sold his song publishing in order to become a billionaire. Springsteen.
Well, he didn't need to. He's one of the Beatles.
Yeah, but Springsteen, I think, got $500 million for his song, I think, both his masters and his publishing rights. Whereas McCartney.
So you're halfway there then.
Well, yeah. Well McCartney has, I think, still retains control of all of his solo masters anyway. The Beatles,
okay.
Famously messy.
Let's get picks of the week from both of you. Dee, now here's a name I haven't heard in a while, Childish Gambino.
Yeah, so Childish Gambino. which is, of course, the name that Donald Glover goes by when he's not acting and he's doing music instead, has released what's going to be his, or is about to release his, sorry, he has already released it. I was listening to it all day. His final album as Childish Gambino. It's absolutely brilliant. He describes it as a big goodbye album when he was chatting to Zane Lowe on Apple Music One. 17 tracks, a real kind of meld and mix of genres, and a lot of them not safe for radio. So we had to work to find one that is. But this has got to be.
Sampling Prodigy there, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And what's really great about that track, you've got a very kind of slow intro where he's singing very soulfully, and then it comes into obviously the Prodigy sample.
Bando Stone and the New World is the album, so you'd recommend to listen to that, Dee?
Definitely, and it's one of those ones that really, really bears up to a full listen of the album.
Okay. Listener Anthony and Kerry says, Matt, you're correct about Charlie XCX. She did support Taylor Swift in Croke Park in 2018. I know, I was there. But Anthony says, Taylor was better, though. I don't know. Anyway. Your pick of the week, John.
Well, when I saw this announcement, I did throw my eyes up to heaven. Oasis are re-releasing Definitely Maybe for his 30th anniversary. Now I figured, do I need yet another copy of Definitely Maybe? No, I don't. But then I saw the track list for the second CD, and it's a bunch of demos from Monmouth Valley and also the Sawmills, which are two studios where they attempted to record Definitely Maybe. So this is embryonic Oasis. And you know what I'm like about, you know, listen to old demos and live tracks and all the sort of stuff that comes with super deluxe editions. So this is the Monmouth Valley recording of what actually is my second favourite song of the album, and I'd forgotten how great it was, but this is the demo version of Up in the Sky, and listen to how young Liam sounds. Believe is 30 years old.
Do you like listening to demo versions of songs before they've... Because
I do.
Almost by definition, they're not going to be as good as the finished thing, or are they?
Well, I don't know. What it is about songs that I love, I like to get under the skin of them and see how they came together. I mean, Peter Gabriel a few years ago did a So box set where he stitched together the song as it came into being. So you got the very early demo version, segging into, you know, the first recording, then maybe the fourth take, and then eventually how it turned out.
Must have a listen, because that's one of my favourite all-time albums.
It's brilliant. He does it for every song of the album, but it's like seeing the skeleton of the song, seeing how, you know, what they added to it later.
It's sort of interesting thing. I mean, one of my favourite tracks of all time was Blue Oyster called Don't Fear the Reaper, and there is an alternative version in the original demo, which is missing an awful lot of the final version. I'm not just talking about the cowbells, but I just sort of think it's a bit nerdy, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. Well, yeah, it is. It is absolutely nerdy, but it's, you know, if you're crazy into music, you sort of, well, I want to understand how the song came together. I want to hear what I'm maybe not supposed to have heard before now, like demos and, you know, writing sessions and out, like the Beatles anthology 2 CD sets, and even the whole Get Back 9-hour film. What that is a super deluxe edition of Let It Be. You know, it's like seeing them in the studio, listen to them squabble a bit, listen to them put stuff together, watching McCartney in real time writing Get Back, that sort of stuff.
To finish, Dee, tell us about the Victoria and Albert Museum in London and hiring four British Swifties to become Taylor Swift superfan advisors. Why? Is there an exhibition in the museum in relation to Taylor Swift?
Yeah, so the museum said that it was looking for insights into culture and craftsmanship behind the handmade signs, friendship bracelets and memorabilia associated with Taylor Swift. So actually more than 1,000 people applied for the role after it was advertised earlier this year. Now, it is worth saying that this isn't the only type of superfan role that the Victoria and Albert have. And when you hear the list of the rest of them, maybe it's not as exciting for Taylor Swift fans. It's Toby Jugs, which I had to look up. They're a specific type of jug from the pre-medieval era.
You didn't know what a Toby Jug was.
Cork clothing and Lego.
Know what a Toby Jug was?
No.
Jeez, Deirdre. So the four exhibitions are now the fifth to join the Toby Jugs and the... What's the name
of
the
Lego.
And the Lego.
The Gorp Core.
The Gorp Core is Taylor Swift.
Do you know what Gorp Core is?
No, what is it?
I do.
It's wearing outer, like, so stuff that you'd normally wear for, like, hiking and, you know, outdoor sports as regular clothes.
Yeah, so there's big puffy it's a whole jackets thing. Sort of things.
It's not very brash, though.
No, it's not, or bougie.
Yeah. Do you get them in chartreuse?
Well, you could, yes.
I'd you imagine could. You
or
could,
as it's
actually,
also
yeah.
known, snot green.
Please, John, don't be every week dragging this segment down into the gutter with you. Thank you very much, John Cadell and Dee Reddy.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.